You take the scriptures and turn to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. And we'll finish the chapter this evening, verses 15 through the end of the chapter. So 2 Samuel 21, 15 through 22. This is God's holy and inerrant, infallible word. Now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, so that you do not extinguish the lamp of Israel." Now it came about after this that there was war again with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, struck down Saph, who was among the descendants of the giant. There is war with the Philistines again at Gob. And Elhanan, the son of Jereh-Ragim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was war at Gath again, where there was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. And he also had been born to the giant. When he had defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now that is God's perfect word to us. And so these verses here show us a few things. First, that which is essential in preserving, is preserving God's king. Verses 15 through 17. Ishbi-benob, one of the sons of the giant, the Philistine, he attempts to kill David. But as he moves in for the kill on a tired and weary, exhausted king David, Abishai came to his defense and defeats Ishbi-benob, putting him to death. And the men of David then are sobered. They make a solemn oath that David will never go into battle again. For him doing so, the stakes are too high. The risk is too great. And should David's life be snuffed out here, or snuffed out in battle, what they're saying here is that Israel would flounder in darkness and confusion. David's life means light for Israel. How many close calls have there been in the seed? Remember the seed of the woman. How many close calls have there been in the seed? And he, the Lord, has always preserved the seed that led to Christ. He's always preserved the king, too. And it was through Christ's death and resurrection life that all have life in him. As he lives, we live. Second, we are shown what is proper, and that is honor to God's servants, giving honor to God's servants. Verses 17 through 19 and verse 21. And these verses show honor given to God's servants, Abishai, Sibekai, Elhanan, and Jonathan, David's nephew. These were the men who God used to protect his kingdom from these sons of the giant. Paul does this same mentioning of people at the end of his letters in the New Testament, and it shows honor given to them, like, for instance, Priscilla and Aquila. Third, we're shown what is accomplished in the fulfilling of God's promises. All 4 who are struck down here were sons of the giant in Gath, and so the Lord in chapter 3 made a promise. By the hand of David, my servant, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And through David, God's instrument, by God's power and promise, he does do that. These 4 slain are a symbol of that salvation, of that fulfillment, of that promise from the Philistines. And then finally, what we see is clear that God's enemies are silenced. Verses 20 and 21. The last enemy in these verses was a huge, startling description of a man That should give all pause to at least question, think of it odd. But he was a great man in stature, 6 fingers on each hand, 6 toes on each foot, so 24 fingers and toes. But what matters is not someone's anatomy. We've learned that before. We've learned that in Genesis. We've learned that in Samuel, the beginning. So what matters is not someone's anatomy or someone's body or how big they are, whether they're a giant or not. Remember that's what Israel sinfully looked at when they spied out the land. They didn't want to go in because of the giants of the land. The Nephilim were in the land. Remember the Anakim, same type of people. And the sons, even the sons of God in Genesis 6, remember? They were looking to marry the daughters of men. That is, God's people were trying to marry not God's people, unbelievers, so that they would produce offspring that looked great. But it isn't in the anatomy, and but what we see here is that we look at the giant's attitude, this man's attitude. He defied Israel. He derided Israel. He mocked them. The same thing Goliath did to Israel way back in 1 Samuel 17. He lost his head because of it. The same thing happens to this man. He's put to death. So those who trash talk Yahweh and his people will be silenced. And so, beloved, before the Lord, all our enemies will be silenced. And so we ought to be encouraged that God preserves the king, that we're to honor God's servants, he fulfills his promises, and he silences enemies. Silences his enemies. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise you. We do thank you that you are a God who preserves the king. All those kings that led to Jesus, who is the eternal king, who needs no preserving anymore. He is eternal. Eternal past to eternal future. Always is, always was, always will be. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he is our prophet and priest, he is our king, and we praise him, for he rules over us when we are under his control. He is sovereign. And Father, you have you have continually fulfilled your promises to us. You've made many promises throughout the scriptures, and not one have you been unfaithful to that you've made. And so we should be comforted. And we should rejoice in a God who always tells us the truth. When we are living in a world where there's people who are always telling us lies, and even we ourselves tell lies all the time, even in little lies or white lies. Father, forgive us of our sin. And Father, we praise you that in the end, you will silence all of your enemies and our enemies. And what we would have read in Revelation this morning, we've already heard last week that you condemned and judged the beast and the harlot and the false prophet and all the enemies, all the wicked are silenced. And in Revelation 20, which we would have read this morning and the Lord willing we'll read next week and the week after, Father, we know that Satan is silenced. For even an angel, not you, but an angel puts him down and seals him in the abyss, binding him. And so, Father, we praise you that you even enable angels who are stronger than Satan himself. And you silence your enemies. And so, Father, we should have great confidence. Give us confidence. Give us comfort. Give us encouragement in these things, in your promises, in what you say in your word. That all that we hear this evening would be from your word, and that we would know without any question that it is true, because it's your word. And Father, we ask that you would care for our souls. And just as we pray that you would care for our bodies. And so we ask that you would be with Betty and Dick. You would heal Dick especially and give them good recall of memory. Ask that you would be with Bob and Marie and strengthen their bodies as Bob is not feeling well and Marie is not feeling well. We ask that you'd be with Dina and Sharon. That you would help them and strengthen their bodies, give them energy. And even Kara, with her allergies and respiratory system, ask that you'd be with her and strengthen her body. That all of here we'd be strengthened and you would put to death cancers within us, that you would give us life in your Son. That we would be enabled to worship you in a greater way. Father, we ask that you would provide for your people. We pray that you provide for Todd a job, another job, and that you would provide everything he needs. And we know that you'll give him exactly what he needs, just as you give all of us exactly what we need. And you ask that you would give us patience and long-suffering, and that we would trust in your ways, for we know that you are faithful. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.